Tonight we begin the 18th Perek, Perek Yitches of Sefer Yeshua. We are in the middle of the Chalukas Haaretz, and the Perek will shortly turn to Binyamin and the remaining seven Shvatim whose portions were not yet defined. However, Perek Yitches Pasuk Aleph interrupts with another very important point, another important episode in the history of Klal Yisrael. V'yikalu kol hadas b'nei Yisrael shiloi. The Jewish people, all of them, all of the Shvatim came together to the city of Shiloi, which is in the chelik of Ephraim, which we had just discussed. V'yashkinu sham es oyel mayed. And there they placed the Mishkan, the Yael Mayed, V'ha'oretz nichbisha lefneihem, and the land was conquered. It was at the end of the 14 years, the years of Kibush v'chiluk. For some reason, Shiloi gets very short drift. Doesn't get a lot of exposure in the Psukim or even in Chazal and the Gemara. But the Mishkan Shiloi was a major episode, a major period of time in the history of Klal Yisrael. The Mishkan, the Mizbeach, the Arin, the Menorah, the Shulchan, all of it. The Avodah on Yom Kippurim, the Karban Pesach, the eating of Maaser Sheni, all the things we associate with Yerushalayim took place in Shiloi. And not for a short period of time. For 369 years, for an extraordinarily long period at the outset of the birth of Klal Yisrael, the Mishkan was in Shiloi, it's not Chariv, until the beginning of Sefer Shmuel Aleph, in the episode where the Arin is captured by the Pelishtim, and Shiloi is Chariv. And then, later, we learn about the building of the Beis HaMikdash. The building of the Beis HaMikdash is many parakim long. Mishkan Shiloi, one pasuk. Not even a whole pasuk. All of Klal Yisrael comes together to establish the Mishkan in Shiloi. The question to deal with is, what is the difference between the word Mishkan as a Mishkan Shiloi and Migdash as in Beis HaMigdash? The Mishkan was in the Midbar, the Mishkan was in Shiloi, and when the Beis HaMigdash was built, the name changes. The Gemara actually says in the beginning of Erevin on Daf Beis that Metzinu Mishkan Dikri Migdash, Migdash Dikri Mishkan. We find the Mishkan is called Vasuli Migdash V'shachanti B'saicha. So we find the name used both ways. Yeah, apparently one is primary. In the Mishkan, the attribute of Mishkan is the most important part. And in the Migdash, the attribute of Migdash is the most important part. What is the difference between a Mishkan and a Migdash? For this, I'd like to share with you two answers tonight. I'll start with one. That is in the Shem Shmuel and Parshas Truma, Shnas Tov Reish Ayin Vav, where he brings the Ramban. The Ramban has an introduction to the book of Shemais. An introduction to the book of Ayikra. The Ramban in general has a shita that each of the five Chumashim has its own theme. And he gives the name of the book of Ayikra, what's it called? Tairas. He calls it Tairas Kayanim Vehalevim. Us Levim always get shortchanged. And somehow everyone knows Tairas Kayanim. It's Tairas Kayanim Vehalevim. Kayanim and Levim are given jobs in the book of Ayikra. And that, the Ramban says, is a sefer about the Mishkan, the Karbanos, which are brought as a kapara, a protection for Klal Yisrael. It says the Shem Shmuel, Mishkan is a language of Shechina, a language of a place where the Shekhinah resides. It's a language of protection. Whereas Mikdash is a language of aliyah, of growth. And there are two tafkidim. There are two tafkidim in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash. To be a place of protection for Klal Yisrael, a place of kapara from sins, and a place of Mikdash, a place to raise one's Kedusha and achieve a higher level. It's somewhat reminiscent of a famous maimer that Rav Huttner said when Yeshivas Rabbeinu Chaim Berlin moved to Flatbush in its original building here. Rav Huttner spoke, and in that speech he said that once upon a time a yeshiva was a Beis HaMikdash, it was a Mikdash, a place to raise your level. He says that in today's day and age, the yeshiva serves two functions. It's a teva, like Noach had a teva to protect him from the dangerous environment outside of the teva. And it's also a Mikdash, a place to grow. And in that sense, the Mishkan serves these two purposes, the purpose of protecting Klal Yisrael, of helping them maintain whatever status they have, that's the Mishkan, and the purpose of elevating Klal Yisrael, that's Mikdash. In the Rambam, he brings two psukim for the mitzvah of building a Beis HaMikdash. In the beginning of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Va'asu li Mikdash, and the beginning of Malachim, L'shichnai Sidrashu Uvasa Shama, Mishkan and Mikdash both. Once a person leaves yeshiva, he doesn't have that dual protection. We have what we call a Mikdash Ma'at. A Mikdash Ma'at is a Beis HaMedrash, a Beis HaKnesses, a shul, a place where working people come together to daven, to learn. And that too has to serve more than as a function of a neighborhood place just to fall into when you need a minyan and you find the right time and you run in and you get a minyan. That's fine and well. But that's not a mikdash. If our shuls are to be a mikdash ma'at, it has to serve a much bigger function, a much broader function. It has to be a place that we use for aliyah, that we use for growth. A place that's meaningful in our lives. Not just a place to catch a minyan. This past week, our shul recognized my 25 years as a Rav here in Flatbush. I'm actually not that old, but it's 25 years. And what started out to me as being just a typical honoreeship for a dinner ended up, to a great degree, because of an outpouring of feeling from many of my friends locally and at a distance, being more a time for reflection, or more time to think into some things that I hadn't thought about in a long time, and to talk about something, an idea of what's really needed in the post-yeshiva years, because in yeshiva, in our society, Baruch Hashem, young men and young ladies are raised in yeshivas and Beis Yaakovs that provide an artificial environment. But it's not artificial, it's the real environment where a ben or bas Yisrael should be raised. And in the post-yeshiva or Beis Yaakov years, a shul really has to serve that function. Tonight we learn about the establishment of Mishkan Shiloh, the first such Makan Kadosh in Klal Yisrael, that which our shuls are supposed to emulate. Our shuls are Mikdash Ma'at. A shul is built. It's built to be like a Beis HaMikdash. It has a shulchan in the middle, just as there was a Mizbeach in the middle of the Beis HaMikdash. When we keep the Sefer Torah, we call the Arin, just as the Sefer Torah in the Beis HaMikdash was kept in an Arin. We have a Pareiches, at least by Ashkenazim, we have a Pareiches, which is named after the Pareiches that was in front of the Arin. Shuls have a Ner Tamid, just like there was a Ner Tamid, most shuls have a menorah as a decoration, because there was a menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says that a shul has to have a lobby. Nichnasin shnei psachim, there have to be two doorways to go into a shul. Just like the heichal in the Beis HaMikdash had an ulam and a heichal, had two doors before one could enter. And in all these ways and more, a shul is built to be a mikdash ma'at, to be something of a Beis HaMikdash. I'd like to reflect today on the things that a Beis HaKnesses or a Beis HaMedrash needs today. Thinking about Mishkan Shilai, what Mishkan Shilai needed, the Psukim don't talk much about Mishkan Shilai. I don't know why. I don't know why Shilai is barely mentioned when it serves such a central focus for Klal Yisrael. The Mishnah Megillah Daf Tes says, Ein Bein Shilai Le Beis HaMikdash Ella. There's only minor differences between Shilai and the Beis HaMikdash. Yet Shilai is dealt with briefly. The answer to that, I don't yet know. But to reflect on what had to be put together to create Mishkan Shilai, that's what you have to put together to create a meaningful shul. Beis HaMedrash or Beis HaKnesses, a place for Torah and Tefillah in our days. And if in America, youngsters, teenagers dream of a dream team in different types of sports, so tonight I'd like to dream of a dream team. What it takes to put together Mishkan Shilai, what type of people, and to try to see from that what it takes to create a shul, not just a place to run into for Ashrei and Shmoneh Esrei Aleinu and run out, but a place that becomes a part of your life, a place of aliyah, a place of growth, a place that's meaningful, a place of protection, a place where the Yetzirahs of the world are discussed in a way that helps a person protect himself, in a way that the challenges of the world, keeping to the Shulchan Aruch is discussed, the mitzvahs are discussed every time a chag comes, a place that's meaningful. Naturally, I would start with what I might think is the most important part of Mishkan Shilai, and that is the Leviyim. Every good shul needs Leviyim. The Levi, in our time and age, is the Gabbai of a shul, or the Gaboyim of the shul. The people willing to give of their time and effort to be Matriach on behalf of a shul, and really to take a risk, sometimes of making enemies, taking care of things that have to be taken care of in a shul. The requirement for a Gabbai is very thick skin, because more or less Gaboyim are approached only with complaints. So you have two choices. Either he has to have thick skin and be able to handle it, or he has to lack the intelligence to get it when people offend him. The Gaboyim I know are not of that type, and therefore it takes really a lot of patience for Klal Yisrael. I'd like to share with you Rav Schwab's explanation of the role of the Leviyim in the Midbar. It's a Pashas Kairach. But Kairach, we're told, is a Helig Yid, was a great man, and he complains about his job as a Levi. Did you ever hear a Levi complain? What's he complaining about? It's a wonderful job. Rav Schwab paints such a beautiful picture of Divrei Chazal. He says the following. Klal Yisrael is in the Midbar. Everyone has his tent. Everyone is busy. What do they do in the Midbar? Torah, mitzvahs, tefillah. Suddenly, the call goes out. The Anane HaKavid are raised as a sign that we're about to move. 42 times, there were 42 Masois in the Midbar. The clouds lifted. It's a warning, we're about to move, pack your bags. Suddenly in every home, the bags are packed, the children are bundled up, the wagons, the donkeys, everything is gathered. Just picture it. You're packing to move. It's not like packing for the country where you go back home for things you forgot. Take everything. In the tents of the Levim, it's not quite that way. You see, as the Ananim rose and people began packing, the Levim scooted off to the Mishkan, leaving their wives to do the packing, and with one eye on their families, the other eye on their responsibilities, they started to pack up the Klei HaMishkan. It was hot work in the Midbar, and it was dangerous work. Chazal say that people that dealt with the Mishkan in inappropriate ways died on the spot. It was dangerous work. It was sweaty work. It was work that was done at a time that others were packing up their bundles and their packages, not to leave anything behind. And here, one eye on the family, one eye on their responsibilities, they pack up the Mishkan, and the Anani HaKavod begin to move, and they travel. Sometimes they travel a great distance, sometimes a short distance. When the Anani HaKavod came to a rest, so did Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael, again, would unpack, stake out the place they're supposed to stay, each person in his special spot, and start unpacking, pitching their tents. Not the Levim. The Levim now had to unpack the Mishkan. And the Levim, suddenly coming to stop, some Levim took the objects of the Mishkan on wagons, some carried it by hand. They come to rest and they have to put up the Mishkan. It's not easy. The beams of the Mishkan were tremendously high. They were gigantic. They were the width of a house. And they had to be put up, put together precisely. And then the cloth coverings on top of the Mishkan, three layers, had to be put up. I can't even imagine how they did it. Could you imagine? Without any cherry picker trucks to put up these gigantic multi-story beams, and then put these cloth coverings, the areas, over it. The first one, at least, you can help from the inside on a ladder. But then the second one is on top of the first one, and the third one on top of that. And to put it precisely, a complicated job. You need good contractors for that. And finally, they put it together again, one eye on the family. The baby is crying. Remember, these are families that had six tuplets at home. Shisha Bekeres Echad. Maybe the husband had the better part of the deal, taking care of the Mishkan. The wife had to move the family. And here they are, hot, desert work. No doubt, it's a tremendous chus to be able to do it. And finally, they announce, we've done it. Everything is in place. The Mishkan is set up. The Levim are proud. And suddenly an announcement comes, Harcheik, move away. Levim are not allowed to be standing there. Harcheik, move away. Get back. Levim, go where the Yisraelim go. And their cousins, the Kayanim, would come in, all showered and calm, with a beautiful big day kahuna, the Kayan Gadol with his chayshen. And suddenly the Levim, after all their work, are told, okay, step aside. The Kayanim are coming. And suddenly their karbanis, there's meat to be divided. There's steaks to be given out. To who does it go? To the Kayanim. To the Kayanim. To them, their wives, their children. To who does it go? Hamuram Nechal, the Kayanim, Lunesheyem, Livneyem, Ulavdeyem, even to their servants. Not the Levim. The Levim, back in the background, running home to look after their family. There's no question they were upset. And Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to them. He said, Rav Lochem B'nei Levi. Trust me, Rav lochem b'nei Levi, you have a big schus. You have to have a special attitude. It's an attitude that it's true. We sweated. We worked. It was dangerous. Some of them had brothers or cousins that died. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, Rav lochem, you have to have a good attitude. You have to have a noble attitude. You have to be altruistic people. You have to be spiritual people. You have to look at the schus that you have. Rav lochem b'nei Levi. And that, to a great degree, is the job of a gabai in a shul. The gabayim will take care of different things in the shul. Even if you just take care of the air conditioning, you get complaints sometimes. You get complaints. Sometimes somebody in shul tells me it's very cold. I tell them, remember when we were young, all the old people complained about the cold? They get very offended when you say that. But it's very hard when you take care of things. You know, the gabbai could send someone up to the yamid, 100 minyanim in a row, and the 101st, when no one goes up right away, they say, where's the gabbai? The gabbai could remember 100 yard sites in a row, and then he forgets someone and he makes an enemy. Very, very hard. It happens. Rav lochem b'nei Levi. A shul needs a good group of levim. It needs people that are selfless, willing to do what is sometimes a thankless job. And remember Rav lochem b'nei Levi. Later, in Parshas Vaaschanan, Moshe Rabbeinu begs to go into Eretz Yisrael. What's the story? Let me tell you the story. Moshe Rabbeinu gets his first nevuah at the Sneh. At the burning bush, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going to take Klal Yisrael, you're going to take them out of Mitzrayim. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, they're going to give me a hard time. Lo yaminu bi. And God says, what do you mean? They're maminim, but they maminim. Just go. And Moshe Rabbeinu goes. And you all know, not perfect. They say, the Nesiim say, yeah, we're going to Para, you go first, we'll follow you. You know what Rashi says. As he's heading towards the palace, one chicken's out to the left, and one chicken's out to the right, and one remembers he has something else to do. And suddenly, Moshe and Aaron leading this group of people, and there's no one behind them. No one behind them. I remember once, as a foolish Beis Medrash Bacher, in Tarvadas, there's a public school a block and a half away. And every once in a while, there's an altercation with the elegant members of that public school. And once they came as a group to the yeshiva. And we went out, to challenge them. In my foolishness, I was in front. And I know exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu felt like. When you get there's no one behind you. No one behind you. That was the last time I went out in front. But not Moshe Rabbeinu. See, Moshe Rabbeinu struggled with Klal Yisrael, fought for Klal Yisrael, Eser Nisyaynes Nisnasu Yisrael, 10 Nisyaynes for Moshe Rabbeinu. He leaves them for 40 days and they're building a golden calf. And Moshe Rabbeinu struggles. He begs. He says, Rabbeinu Shalom, Mecheni Na Mesifrecha. He pulls out all the stops on behalf of Klal Yisrael. He struggles. And now they're going into Eretz Yisrael. It's going to be good times. They're going into Eretz Yisrael. Sefer Yeshua. It's wonderful. Nobody has any revolution. Nobody rebels. Nobody makes trouble. Everyone's getting land. And Moshe Rabbeinu is ready to go in. And Hashem says, Moshe Rabbeinu, that's it. This is your last stop. Moshe Rabbeinu says, what? I carried them all these years. I sweated for them. I begged for them. I risked my life for them. And now I can't go into Eretz Yisrael. Now Yeshua goes in. And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? He says, Moshe Rabbeinu, Rav Loch. Al Toysef Dabar Oyd Bedover Azeh. Remember you said Rav Lochem to the Levian? You too, Rav Loch. It's hard, you are tough people. Moshe Rabbeinu, you're a Levi, they're Levian. Rav Schwab says that's what the Gemara means. In Saita Yagimel it says, Amar Rav Levi, of all people, Amar Rav Levi, Berav Biser, Berav Bisru. He said to the Levim, Rav Lochem. They said to him, Rabban Shlomo said to him, Rav Loch. Rav Loch. What an attitude. Those are the Levim that are needed for a Mishkan. Those are the Gaboim that are needed for a Shul. Wherever you daven, wherever you are, if a shul is to be a mishkan, a migdash, a place of aliyah, it needs people willing to step forward. The Levim of our Batei Midrashim, often underappreciated, who contribute, each person takes on a certain aspect of a shul, make it meaningful, make it worthwhile, make it count. It's all in the attitude. Rav Lochem. Those are the Levim. Of course, you have to have the right type of Yisraelim as well. Those who come, if you want to make it a Migdash, it can't be a quick stop. It can't be a quick Mincha, a quick Mariv, a quick Shacharis, and that's it. That's not a Migdash. A Migdash is a place that has meaning. A shul has meaning, it's a place of Kedusha. There's a Gemara in Masechta the Saita, Daf Chav Beis, a difficult Gemara. The Gemara says, Hahu Almana Dava Beknishta Bishivavuse. There was an Almana who had a shul in her neighborhood. But she didn't go to her local shul. She went to Rabbi Yechanan's shul. Omar Loas, Rabbi Yechanan said to this almana, Biti, Loi Beisakneses B'Shishivuseich, don't you have a shul in your neighborhood? Omar Loi Rebbe, V'Loi Schar P'siyos Yeshli, don't I get schar for walking to a distant shul? So she said, it's worth walking to the further shul for the schar of psiyos, the schar of walking. And incredibly, the Magen Avraham in Simit Tzadik, Sifkat L'chav Beis, brings this lahalacha. He says, Im yesh beis beis haknesses v'ir, if there are two shuls in your town, Mitzvah leilech laharachayka, deschar psiyos yesh. It's a mitzvah to go to the one that's more distant because of the schar of walking. It's hard to understand. I don't know people that are naive this way. Choose a shul based on distance and then go to the more distant one? Barely hear of such a thing. Could you imagine? You're going to buy an esrig. Go buy it at the most distant esrig seicher. Schar psiyos yesh. Not that way. Why, Dafka, when it comes to going to a shul, why is it that way? The Maharal writes, somewhat cryptically, in the Siv HaAvodah, Perek Hei, Ein loy leilech lesuka hayoysa rechayka, mishum schar psiyos. No one will tell you, go to the most distant sukkah. You want to get schar for traveling? Kiyim gabei beis haknesses amru. It's only a shul. Ki beis haknesses migdash ma'at. Because the beis haknesses has to be a migdash, a place of kedusha, a place of aliyah. Lefika kasha hoylech lebeis haknesses hu nimshach al Hashem yizbarach liyos lo devekus bo yizbarach. Va misnoye el adavar Yeshlai Devekas Gomor Im HaMisnaya. I want to explain the Maharal. I'll share with you an insight in the Sefer Ba'ur Panecha on
Beinam Mitzarev, he explains beautifully. We find that Avraham Avinu was told, Lech lecha me'artzecha me'vladcha me'savicha ela oret asher areka. Moshe Rabbeinu, travel, I'll tell you later where you're headed. Rashi says, why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu immediately inform him of his destination? And Rashi says two things. L'chaveva, to make it more dear in his eyes, keep it as a secret till he gets there. And secondly, l'asei schar, I'll call Dibor of a Dibor. Actually, the Medrash's Lashon is I'll call Psia Upsia. To get schar for traveling. Why does he get more schar for traveling if you don't tell him where he's going? So Rav Baruch Ber explains, if you have a mitzvah to be somewhere, then the traveling is a hechsher mitzvah. It's not the mitzvah. It's a way to get there. So Rabbi Shalom told Avraham, the traveling is the mitzvah. Lech lecha. I'm not telling you where to be. The traveling is itself the mitzvah. Lechaveva. Because when you travel someplace eagerly, there's a chavivus for it, a love for it. It becomes more meaningful. And this is what Baruch Ber says about Avraham Avinu traveling to Haram Eriya. Can be applied as well to the 40 years in the Midbar. For 40 years, Klal Yisrael traveled in the Midbar. Why? Why? Pashit? Because they just had to while away the time. The decree was that once a year, a 40th of those who had to die would pass away on Tisha B'Av. You need 40 Tisha B'Avs. So you're just going to have to dray around for a year or 12 months till you get to the next Tisha B'Av. Could it be? It's not a meaningful traveling in the Midbar. The answer is, l'chaveva. It creates a chavivus when you're eager to get somewhere and you can't wait to get there. When there's an eagerness, tischara kol psia upsia, every step is meaningful. People who understand that the shul is a mikdash ma'at, especially people who are out of yeshiva, people who are working in a non-Jewish environment, certainly not from environment, very often an anti-from environment, have to see the place they choose to daven as their mikdash ma'at, their teva. Is a chavivus. It's not just the closest local place you go. It's a place that's a derech for aliyah. A derech to grow. A place to hear about the Sur Meiraz and the Asei Toivs. A place to learn, to daven. A place to grow. A place to go on a day off. A place that has meaning. Rabbi Yechanan said, why are you walking so far? I said, Rabbi Yechanan, aren't there scharp siyas? If I'm just needing minyan, I could go locally. But if I'm going someplace because they have a chavivus for it, the going itself creates that chavivus, creates that meaning. That makes it more meaningful. When Hasidim get together to travel to the Rebbe, to Yomim Neiroim, the traveling the distance is as much a connection as the being there. It means something. It means something, a part of something. In a shul that has Levim that understand the attitude of Rav Lochem, it's a schus. Needs a hamoinam of a tzibur that understands the attitude of what a Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash could be, what it should be, what it really has to be. Those are dream components of a shul. Not just people to run in and run out. people to make it a place. Someone once moved into our neighborhood, and my wife got a call, a complaint, that he comes Shabbos morning. I never said Shalom Aleichem to him. I said, you know, I kept my eye out for him. He generally walks in after Baruch Sha'amar and runs out before the last Kaddish. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? See, it depends why you're coming to a Beis Medrash. So a Beis Medrash needs Levim who have the attitude. It needs Yisraelim who have the attitude. There's something else very special that Mishkan Shilai had. See, Mishkan Shilai had people that were Eile Regel. They were Eile Regel. Once a year they traveled great distances to come. Now you'll ask me, what big deal? It's a mitzvah. So did the Beis HaMikdash. The very first Navi Shir, more than 25 years ago, we learned the first psukim in Shmuel. And we learned that there was a Jew named Elkanah, who was a Gadol Hadar. And that this man Elkanah, Va'ala ha'ishahu me'irai miyamim yamima. He went up to Shilai, miyamim yamima, says the Mitzudis, and the Ralbag, and the Radak, and the Abarbanel, he went once a year to be Eile Regel. Once a year to be Eile Regel? Eile Regel is three times a year. What does it mean? And then Rashi. Rashi says, Allah ishahu me'irai. Rashi says, B'derashu ha'ilech b'shana zu, le'halach b'shana acheres. Every time he went to Shilai, he took a different road, a different way of going there, so he would meet Jews and tell them, why don't you join me? Join me, let's go be Eile Regel. What? The Jews weren't being Eile Regel on their own? He had to say, join me? So why did we answer then? No? Somebody remembers? We answered then from the Ramban and Devarim, Perek Tes Zayin, Pasuk Tes, that the mitzvah of being Eile Regel is in the Beis HaMikdash. The Kamtova Alisa El Amokai Masha Yitzchar Hashem. That's Yerushalayim. There's no obligation to be Eile Regel in Shilai. But there were those that were Eile Regel anyway. There are those who went and didn't have to go. Those that went because they felt the need to go at least once a year and be exposed to Kedushas HaMishkan. We have an old rule, which we've mentioned Matzah Shabbos many times, and that is that when you do something you have to do, it doesn't show love. It shows that you're a good person. You do what you have to do. When you do something that you don't have to do, that shows Ahava. That shows love. That shows closeness. That shows Chavivos. Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Rebbeinu Shalom promised Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, it had to happen. Kriyas Yamsuf, they went out of Mitzrayim already. That was Ahava. That was Shira. That was Shira Sayam. Ahava is when you do things you don't have to do. In a dream shul has people are willing to come and show support, commitment, the davening to the learning, who don't have to come. Who don't have to come. And when people come from distances, from the five towns, from Great Neck, from distant places, to show an ahava, to show an ahava for what? For the learning? That's a dream team. That's what a shul, a rav, a mishkan shilai, that's what it dreams of. That's as much a part of the team as anything else. And people have to think, of their Beis HaKnesses, the Beis HaMedrash, as a place where they have to show something more. There's a fundamental idea regarding our obligation in Olam Hazeh. You see, Jews got together, V'yikalu kol hadas b'nei Yisrael shilai. What did they do? What did they do when they got to Shilai? When the whole Klal Yisrael comes together, they sanctify the place where the Mishkan will be. They give Kedusha to the Mishkan. They give Kedusha to the place where they are. It's a mitzvah saseh in the Torah. The mitzvah to give Kedusha to a place is the mitzvah of Binyan HaMishkan, or Binyan Beis HaMikdash. It's a mitzvah to give Kedusha to a place, a spot. You build a shul on this corner, beautiful shul here. I don't know what was here before this building was built, but I doubt this was a spot of Kedusha. And Yidden came together, for the most part, Jews who ran to this country from Syria, and they gave Kedusha to this spot. And this little spot on the globe is now a place of Kedusha. That's what happened in Shilai. Regarding the mitzvah to give Kedusha to a place, there's a question in the Gemara whether Binyan Beis HaMikdash is Deicha Shabbos. If Shabbos comes, do you continue building the shul? And the Gemara learns from a pasuk that we don't. Binyan Beis HaMikdash is not Deicha Shabbos. Fine. There's another mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to give Kedusha to Zman, to time. It's the mitzvah of being Mekadosh Rosh Chodesh, Kiddush HaChodesh. The only opportunity that a Jew has to change the calendar legally is being Mekadosh the Chodesh. To go Mekadosh Yisrael Vazmanim, a Jew that causes the Sanhedrin to declare which day is Rosh Chodesh, which day will be Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, Sukkot or Pesach. Is Kedushas Hazman Deicha Shabbos? So we learn at the end of the first parak in Rosh Hashanah that while Kedushas HaMakim is not Deicha Shabbos, Kedushas Hazman is. If a man saw the new moon, he travels on Shabbos, Chutz L'Tchum. And if he can't walk, they take him in a wagon. And if he needs food to be taken with him, they mechal Shabbos to take food. And if it's a dangerous trip, we send armed guards with him. Kedushas HaMokim is wonderful. Kedushas HaZman is more. It's something extra, something even more than me Mekadosh HaMokim. And the Torah is Kaveya. It sets for us a rule. The rule is, you want to be Mekadosh HaMokim, it's wonderful. The purpose of the Mokaim is to be Mekadosh the Zman. Sanhedrin sat in the Beis HaMikdash. Kedusha Sazman took place there. Kedusha appears for the very first time in the Torah, in the Pasuk, V'yakadesh Elokim es Yom HaShviyi, V'yavarech Elokim es Yom HaShviyi, V'yakadesh Esai. Kedusha is Zman. Your shul, your Beis HaMedrash or your Beis HaKnesses, is your tool to be Mekadesh Zman. We live as individuals in only two dimensions that vary, and that's place and time. Where we are and when we are. That's what makes an individual unique. Be Mekadesh HaMokim. And be Mekadosh HaZman. This man is your life. It's your time and my time that we have here in this world. In a span of 6,000 years, we're a tiny dot or a portion of a dot. That's our Zman to be Mekadosh. And that's what a Beis HaMedrash, a Beis HaKnesses has to do for you. It's got to be the Emtzoi, the way, to lift the Avas Oilam over the Ava Rabba. To lift the Kedusha of Zman over the Kedusha Samakim, the Makim has to serve as that Emtsai, as that way to make it happen. The dream of a shul, you have the right Levium. Without Gaboyim, it doesn't work. You have to have the right customers, the right people, the right Yisraelim. Without people to whom it's important, it's chaviv, it becomes a place to fall into. It's not a Mikdash Ma'at. Doilei Regel, give it a beauty, give it a magic. And all towards what? Towards being Mekadish the Zman. Towards Mekadish the Zman means Mekadish our lives. Our lives are minutes strung together. If you don't use it, the minutes pass, and Shas is not learnt, and the Parsha is not reviewed, and the mitzvahs of the Yom Tov are things you're not aware of when the Yom Tov comes. You're missing that Mikdash. You're missing the Kedusha, you're missing the Mishkan, you're missing the protection. It's missing. There's a second pshat in the difference between Mishkan and Mikdash, and that appears in the Pritzadik, Reb Tzadik, in the beginning of Parshas Pekudei. He says, Mishkan is the first name. Mishkan is a place of Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu from atop the Aron, Bein HaKruvim. The Mishkan is not just a place of Avodah, of Karbanis. It's a place of Torah. The Sanhedrin sat in the Beis HaMikdash. It's a place of commitment to learning. And it's a Mikdash. Mikdash, Lashon Kodshim, Kodshi Kodshim, Kodshim Kalim. It's both the Mishkan, the place where the Shechinah resides, and the Mikdash, the place of higher and higher Kedusha. Mikdash, Mishkan, Torah, and Tefillah. That's getting your money's worth from a Mikdash Ma'at. And then, of course, they are the Kayanim. The Kayanim in a shul are the Rabbanim in a shul. The Rabbanim daven up front, they daven in the Mizrach Vant, they get the honor of people waiting for them when they say Kriya Shema, when they say Shemayne Esrei. Chazal say, Yashloisha Devarim Ha'olam Oymeid, Aladin Vala Emes Vahasholim. The Velt says there are three times the Olam waits. For Emes, till the Rav gets Hashem Alekechem Emes at last. Al HaShalom, Hashem Yevarech Esamei Vashal, till he finally finishes Mayne Esrei. Val Adin, sometimes, a psak you need from a Rav. But I want to tell you something about what it requires to be a Kayim. It's easy to want to be a Kayin. But a Kayin has to go in the footsteps of Aaron HaKayin. In the footsteps of the first Kayin. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, in Parshas Vayetze, talks about Teichacha, being able to correct someone. He says the following. Yaakov Avinu arrives Artsa b'nei Kedem. He arrives from his father's house, headed towards Lavan's home. And Yaakov sees shepherds. He says, Achai, me'ayin atem, my brothers, where did you come from? Says Rabbi Yaakov, tamid mila zu oimedes b'fanai. Rabbi Yaakov says, constantly tamid. Rabbi Yaakov lived almost 100 years. Rabbi Yaakov's tamid is a long time. This word, Achai, it sticks into my eyes. It's Aymed Devani. It stands up in front of my eyes. Loi matzinu shiikra adam achim la nashim sheinam yiduin loi. Where do you find that someone meets someone the first time and he says, my brothers? Not just like people say my brothers, but he says it, my brothers, with feeling. Where is that? La nashim zarim loi lagamri tamua shiikra say achim. Why is he calling them brothers? Rabbi Yaakov explains. Rashi, Pasuk Zayin, says that Yaakov Avinu had to give them Teichacha. He was going to tell them that it's too early to take the sheep in from pasture. You're cheating the owners of the sheep by bringing them in too early, and he's about to rebuke them. So Rabbi Yaakov, you can't meet someone the first time and correct him and rebuke him. There's an obligation on anyone who wants to give Musar. Shetia mushureshes bilibasam ahavas abriyas. You're not allowed to rebuke someone unless you love the person. Unless there's a relationship, a connection. Ubim lav einam yachaylum lahichiyach. Without it, the rebuke is meaningless. Kaidim shabali de midas teichacha hayamutal olav lo'erer ava va'achva b'neihem. There has to be a kinship, a friendship, a brotherly feeling. Techacha doesn't work any other way. Rabbi Yaakov quotes the Rambam in Hilchos Deyos, Perek Vav Halacha Zayin, when he talks about giving techacha. Yidabralai benachas ubalashin racha, speak softly and gently. V'yodieu sheinai oimalai ala l'tayvasai, and it should be clear that you care about the person. To want to give techacha and musar is easy. You need the right customers. You need the right oilam. You need the right people. I'm sure that Mishkan Shilai was a place where a lot of musar was taught. I'm sure a lot of techacha came out. But that was only because they were kayanim, who had ava va'achva, and people that reciprocated. People that were interested. People that made it a bias, a home. That made it a place they came to for growth. Mishkan Shilai, we don't know much about it. But we know that it was a place in Klal Yisrael where Jews came together and grew. It was a Migdash and a Mishkan. It was a Teva. It was a place to be protected. And it was a place to grow, place of Aliyah. Beis Hamikdash is called Beis Olamim, the house of Olamim, of worlds. See, Olam also is interpreted as Makayim and Zman. Olam is worlds, Olam Hazeh v'Olam Haba. And Olam, that's Makayim, Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, and Olam is Zman, Lo Olam Vayed. Because Olam means the future. The future, where we're headed in time, we're headed in place. Beis Olamim, a place for your future. That's what a Mikdash Ma'at needs to be about. And for that, I'm personally grateful to many people here and other places who've been my Levian, and my Kayan, my Yisraelim, my Ole Regel, Kayan, who's worthy today to be a Kayan. 20 years ago, I had surgery on my leg. It was a serious surgery. I was in the hospital for a while. I had an Irish doctor. And the Irish doctor walked in one day, and I had someone bring me a copy. I have an art scroll book on ribis. And I had a Jewish physical therapist, so I asked one of my family members to bring me. I wanted to give it as a gift. So the doctor looks at the book. He says, "You wrote that?" I said, "Yes." He said rather famously, "The laws of the rabbis?" I told him, no, that's the laws of ribis. "What's ribis?" I said to him, "Doctor, we have a rule that when we lend money to each other, we only lend it interest-free. It's one of our commandments, and that's what the book is about." So he says to me, "About that, you need such a thick book?" I said to him, "Doctor, you'll never understand." He took it at that. Next day he came in and he says, Rabbi, they tell me that you give a Saturday night class and so many people come. Is it true? I told him, well, the number they told you is probably exaggerated, but it's true. And he says to me, do they get a degree? I said, no, there's no degree. He says, do you serve food? I said, no, they don't serve food. He said, so why are they coming? I said to him, doctor, you won't understand. When our lives are the lives of the working place, he'll understand. That's not Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael needs a Migdash, needs a Beis Olamim, needs a place that's a Mishkan where the Shechina protects us, and a Migdash where we have Aliyah. That place is what you make of it. It's what you create of it. There are so many components that are needed to make it work. But the first thing is attitude. The Rav Lochem, the good fortune to be there. The good fortune to be part of it. The Chavivus, the desire to be part of it. And I dare say, there's one more thing. I think everyone here has been at the Kaisel. And that itself is amazing in the history of Klal Yisrael. Generation, we've all been at one point or another at the Kaisel. And I know you've seen bushes that grow out of the stones of the Kaisel. They grow. Does it have a lot of meaning? I doubt anyone gave it much thought. But someone did. Those bushes are what Chazal in the Gemara called Tzlaf. Or caper bushes. What's special about caper bushes? So the Gemara explains that caper bushes are unique in that they have what the Gemara calls kafrisin, vevyainais, va'olin, vitmarais. It has numerous parts that are usable. There are the caper berries, there are the flowers, the leaves, and the little fruits that grow, the buds, the fruits, the leaves, and the flowers. It's a unique fruit. That's what the Gemara says in Ketzer Mevarchim. And those four parts exactly are similar to the four minim that we take on Sukkot, the lulav and the esrig, the dasim and the aravis. In what way are they similar? There's a part that's edible and has a good smell. Pot that's edible and doesn't have a good smell, a pot that has a beautiful smell and not edible, and a pot that has neither. And as you know, those four things represent the four groups in Klal Yisrael. Groups in Klal Yisrael who have a certain level of commitment to Torah or to Tefillah or to both or to neither. That's the Kaisel. Kaisel is a place, you look around. Look around once on a Leil Shabbos. You see, all four groups of Klal Yisrael, all four parts, the parts that are into what's going on, the parts that have no idea what's going on, the parts that have their own interpretation of what's going on. A Mikdash Ma'at is a place that can encompass all of Klal Yisrael. A place where the chavivus, the warmth, is enough to draw in all the parts of Klal Yisrael. If you have a dream team, a dream of a coming together of Yidden, that's what it has to be. That's what Shiloh was. Shiloh was a place in Shevet Ephraim where Yidden came, all different types, all different groups, with a chavivus regularly, and grew there. And we here in the United States, in a century, in a time where the street is as filthy as it's ever been, more than ever, we need to rededicate ourselves to Bate Midrashim and Bate Knesiyos, to make it a place of growth, of meaning, a place where we'll be proud to say, our Beis Olamim, a home that's meaningful to us for all time, for eternity. This coming week is the Yom Tov of Purim. I invite everyone here, or wherever you may be listening from, to our Beis HaKnesses on Avenue S and East 22nd Street for Simchas Purim on the Wednesday night of Purim. Hope that all of you will join us. Yitzhak Hashem, next Motzai Shabbos, the shir begins at 8:30. Agotavach and a Freilich HaPurim to one and all.